God is good. And all the time. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Pinky and the Brain. You guys ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
What shall we do today, Pinky? Same thing we do every day. Try taking over the world. You guys ever seen that?
Yeah?
Oh, that's awesome. I have actually never seen that, but I've seen a meme. It goes like this. It said, what should we preach on today, Pinky? And he says, what we preach on every Sunday, the gospel. So that's where I'm going to start today, is the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It goes something like this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jews first and also the Greek. Oh, you guys aren't even there yet. So Romans 1:16, open it again. I'll read it again when you guys get there. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on. This is my all-time favorite verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jews first and also the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's why I'm going to preach the gospel today. My sermon is actually called Perfection. But I couldn't figure out a way to start it, so I'm going to start with the gospel instead. Because the gospel is the power of God. It is the power to change. It has the power to change who you are. It has the power to shape your future. It has the power to give you breakthrough when you need breakthrough. The gospel has the power to change your mindset. The gospel has the power to change your life. Amen? So let's talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news, amen. Let's open up to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Come on. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I got myself Billy the Sinner here. So we're going to put him right here. Honestly, this is a representation of humans right here, okay? This is actually me without my glasses and my makeup. So it's real talk right here. So this is Billy the Sinner, okay? I know you guys are all scared of demons, so in the name of Jesus, all demonic powers out of here. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this is what a human looks like, okay? Matter of fact, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us were dead in our sins and our trespasses before God loved us. This is the gospel message. This is what we're born right here. We're born dead in our sins. Today we talked about Adam and Eve in the very beginning, right? The very beginning where Adam and Eve, they were in the presence of the Almighty God. Adam and Eve, Adam was walking in the cool of the day with God and just chilling with God and talking and speaking with God and having conversations and having fellowship with God. It was such a nice, awesome moment. Imagine this. You're literally walking with God every day and just talking. And he's, programming you directly. You know what I mean? He's programming you directly as a person. And you're walking and you're in his presence 24/7. And we could read in Genesis where the fall happens, where Eve gets tempted by the serpent and she gives to her husband and her husband takes and eats in, and the fall of mankind happens. And after that, we're all dead in Adam. We're all sinners. We're all dead in Adam, right? So we're dead. Let's see. This is dead Billy, right? Billy the Sinner. Billy, how are you? Billy can't speak right now. Why? Yeah, he has no life in him, right? There is no life in him. Same with us. Before Christ, we had no life in us. We had no spiritual life in us. We did nothing. We could not do nothing to get Christ's righteousness. Amen? Can Billy do something to get Christ to like him better? Can Billy do something to earn his salvation? Why can he not do anything? Because he's dead in his sin. He's completely dead. He's got nothing to give. He's got nothing to do. He's dead in his sins and his trespasses. Man, actually, I've never been in a Halloween store until today. Creepy place. Don't go there. All right? I'm just saying, don't go there. It's Got to return this today too. But sin, because I want to explain to you guys something. The reality of who we are before Christ found us. You see, before Christ found us, the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses. Let's open to Romans 3:9. Apostle Paul is writing, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under sin. As it is written, no one is righteous, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become worthless. No one does good, not even one." All right? "Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venoms of asps are under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Once again, the Bible is talking about right here. We did not want to seek after God. We did not want to chase after God. We did not want to pursue God. We were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our trespasses. Amen? You guys understand this? Dead in your sins. We're going to put them away. Dead in our trespasses. We are born with this sinful nature. Now you may ask, why is this bad? Anybody know why this is bad? What does sin do between us and God? It separates us. Why? God is holy, right? God is so holy. God is so clean. And sometimes we don't understand what sin does to us. We don't understand what sin does between us and God, because we don't understand who God is. You guys understand that? When we know who God is and how holy He is, and we see how ugly and how dirty and how messed up we are, when we understand the contrast between us and God, it changes our hearts. It produces a godly sorrow. It produces a godly repentance, a true repentance. And then it gives us salvation in life. That's the power of the gospel it was talking about. That's why it could change your life. Because when you look at who you are compared to who Christ is, it will change your life. Amen? It will change your perspective. And check this out. This morning I came out and I looked up to the heavens. I didn't see any stars. You guys know why? Because it's daylight, right? There's so much light around, you can't see the stars. Right? Okay, but when you see the darkness, you see the stars shining through, right? So when you understand how evil man is, you will see God's goodness and God's love through that. Amen? So, in steps Jesus. Jesus, he was a perfect person, right? Lived a perfect lifestyle, never sinned. And lives a perfect life, dies a sinner's death, and pays for us on the cross. Dies the death we deserved. You know, the wages of every sin we ever did was death. Every time we lied, every time we watched pornography, every time that we acted out in anger, every time that we didn't think about God or didn't glorify God, we deserved death for that moment. And every time we go against God, we deserve His everlasting wrath and judgment. You see, without Jesus, God looks at us, and the only thing He can do, like you might think, man, why would God love me? Why would God even look at me? Well, before Christ, God looked at you, and He just thought, I'm going to judge this person, because this person has sinned against me. Because God is a righteous God. Every time you break His commandments, He needs to punish you for that. That is called righteousness. Or justice, sorry, justice. It's called justice. So what Christ does is he covers us, amen? He covers us on the cross with his perfect love. He covers us on the cross with his perfect grace, and he saves us. And see, sometimes we don't understand that, man. Like, I used to work the night shift at RTD, and I would drive there every night and you know, work, and then come back at night, you know? But then I switched over to the morning shift, and the first time I saw the sunrise, it was so beautiful. I was like, wow, the sun is so awesome. I'm like working, the sun is rising, I'm like blows my mind. The next day, it blew my mind again. The third day, fourth day, fifth, sixth, seventh day, I'm like, ah, sunrise. It's cool, but it's just a sunrise, you know? See, we as humans, we get so used to things. We get used to the gospel message. We just think, man, that's just the sunrise. That just, I heard that before. I know that I'm saved. I know that God has gave his life up for me. I know that God, I said the prayer, I said the sinner's prayer, and I go to church every Sunday, and I even sing in the worship, or I preach on stage, or I do this and that, and I was the same exact way. I used to play the bass, and at my youth, and I would be the best Christian that I could be in front of my parents and at church. But I looked like this, right there. And all I did was do this right here. Okay? You guys see Billy now? Billy kind of looks like a person now, right? He's got something that looks like skin, right? So this is what I was doing, okay? This is what we do sometimes. We think that we're saved, but in reality, we're just covering ourselves up and we're playing Christian. In reality, we think, I understand the gospel. And it seems pretty cool, but man, all we're doing is wearing a mask. All we're doing is pretending to be life-filled when we're lifeless. It's time to take the mask off. Because I'd be like this at church, and then I'd go to school and I'd be like this, just like everybody else. Just like Billy, the sinner. Man. But we got to understand the reality of sin. You know, I want to challenge you guys to actually think about your own life. Think about the reality of your own life. Let's open to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Because I want to touch on the subject called false converts. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Say amen when you get there. We can start reading. Come on. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Here we see a situation where Jesus is saying, people are going to come up to me. They're going to tell me, Lord, Lord, I went on missions for you. Lord, Lord, I went to Africa for you. Lord, I prophesied for you. Lord, I prayed for somebody, they got healing in your name. Lord, I did this and that in your name and it happened. I went to church every Wednesday and Thursday and Monday and Tuesday. And I went to all the practices. I went to everything. And I did it all for your name. But Jesus says, I never knew you. It doesn't say here that I knew you for a couple of years when you were with me. And then you fell away. And then I knew you and I didn't know you. No, he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you, not for a split second. This is the reality we live in right now, where there's so many people that walk around a church looking like this, right here for 15, 20 years. They'll walk around right here with their masks, and they will say that they're Christians. They'll walk around the churches, and they'll be able to proclaim the gospel. There's preachers right now, they'll walk around like this, and they say how good you are. They say, oh, you're so good. Oh, you're so blessed. Just give me $5, $10 right now and you know, God will bless you later. There's so many false converts in this life right now. I never knew you. I've shared my testimony here before about when I was a false convert. I thought I was saved, you guys. I really did. I thought that because I said the sinner's prayer, because I had faith, that I'm saved. But see, when you're saved, your life needs to be changing. There's an example that Paul Washer says, if you get hit by a semi-truck, your life will be changed. If you encounter Jesus Christ, your life will be changed. Your life will be completely and utterly transformed. Your life will be completely and utterly moved in a way that you've never been moved before. Man, if you're examining your life right now and you're like, man, I have no change in my life. I don't have the fruit of the Spirit. I don't have the fruits that I'm supposed to have right now. Man, I call you to repentance today. Because today is the day that you should change your life. Today is the day. No. I'm not here to be clapped at, man. I'm not here to be amen, okay? I want you guys to understand this, that Jesus loves you. Not because you're so awesome. Not because you're so good. Not because you've chosen Him. Not because you came to this service today. But because of Christ and His glory. God loves you because He is love. God doesn't love you because you call yourself something. God loves you because of who He is. God loves you because He is love. You guys understand that? You cannot earn His love. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot earn His favor. God does whatever He pleases. He is holy. Amen. So being perfected. You see, once Billy gets saved, once I return him to the Halloween store, once Billy gets saved, all right, he is now embarking on a journey. All right, he's now on this journey to be perfected. Jesus says in Matthew 5, he's like, be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect. And a lot of times we read that and we're like, how in the world am I supposed to be perfect? How in this world, and when I'm living this, because when you're saved, you're not automatically a holy person. You're now walking in this pursuit of holiness, right? You're now getting sanctified every single day until you're glorified. But Jesus says, be perfect like my Father is perfect. So let's talk about that. How does that work? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Come on. Okay. You guys are quick. So, Apostle Paul is writing again to the church in Philippi. He's saying, not that I already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me His own. We're talking about this pursuit of perfection. Being perfect, right? Do you guys understand that you'll never attain perfection here on earth? Anybody understand that? You will never be perfect on earth. You will never be perfect on earth. But yet, God calls us to pursue perfection. God calls us to chase after perfection. Why? Because Christ has made us His own. See, Apostle Paul, he says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me His own. Verse 13, brothers, verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal to you also, or reveal that also to you. So, Apostle Paul is calling us to maturity as Christians. Apostle Paul is saying, as a Christian believer, you need to strive for perfection. You got to strive to become mature, to become whole, to become like when I say perfection, what do you guys think of? Jesus. What about like in this life? I started watching football. And it's actually kind of cool. But I saw this one quarterback. He's really, really good. And when he gets the ball, he sets up and he throws it to his receiver, and his receiver, you know, he's running, and then he like jukes the other guy and then runs back towards the ball and he catches it, and I'm like, "Ooh, that was a perfect throw. Perfection." Just like when the quarterback and the receiver work simultaneously to achieve the goal, right? Is perfect throw, right? What else is perfect? Like, for example, you're driving a car, you get the perfect shift. Just from first to second, second to third. Oh man, so perfect, right? And we like perfection because it feels good, right? And a lot of us sometimes we try to attain perfection because we see a certain body image or we see a certain thing that we try to chase after and be like, "Man, I want to be that person, or I want to be like that." This is not the kind of perfection it's talking about. This is talking about maturity. Apostle Paul says, "Those of you that are mature, think this way, that you need to be chasing after perfection, even though you will never attain it in this life. You need to be chasing after, pursuing after excellency, even though you'll never attain perfection in this life. You got to be doing everything for the glory of God. You got to be doing everything with excellency." Amen? You guys can say amen to that one.
Amen.
Come on. Christian, being Christ-like. See, the mark of a mature believer is living with a desire and a purpose. You guys remember Roman 32 came for camp? You guys remember that? And he said this one thing. He said not to seek perfection, but to seek direction. Right? So we're chasing and we're streamlining. Is that a word, streamlining? Стремимся. Striving. There we go. That's the word. We're striving for perfection. We have the direction towards perfection. Amen. So that's our call in our lives, is going towards perfection. It's going towards maturity. It's growing in our faith. Going deeper. Going deeper, man. And James chapter 1, verse 2. Let's go to James real quick. Well, say amen when you get there. All right, verse 2. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." So Apostle Paul is once again writing. No, sorry, not Apostle Paul. James is once again writing. Is writing here. Whenever you experience trials and temptations in your life, count it joy. Whenever something is happening in your life, for example, a trial that you cannot control, for example, a person has done you wrong, for example, you're getting persecuted for your faith, or just your life is not going the way you planned it, consider it joy, because it's producing in you a certain kind of quality. Producing steadfastness. So your trials and tribulations will actually make you stronger in your faith. And not only will it make you stronger in your faith, it will actually bring you to this state of completion, this state of perfection. Like it says there, when you let the steadfastness have its full effect, it will give you the completion. You know, I want to call you guys to mature as Christians. If you say that you're a Christian, if you say that you're not a false convert, if you say that if you know who Christ is, and you understand the reality of sin in your life, and you understand the kind of life that you should be leading, I want to call you guys to maturity today. To leave behind the emotionalism. Not saying emotions are bad, but to be led by them is bad. Leave behind the emotionalism. Lead behind everything else, but strive after perfection of Jesus Christ. Strive after knowing who God is and going deeper with Him. You know, you might be thinking, "But I've never been to Bible school. I can't go deeper. I gotta wait till I go to SMBS or something, or TBS, maybe Hungry Gen internship, I don't know. I'm waiting. You don't need that. God is calling you deeper without Bible school. God wants to show you things in His Word. God wants you to understand theology. God wants you to understand who He is through His Scripture. God wants you to understand the basics and the fundamentals of apologetics, of your faith, of who God is. Because once you understand more who God is, you can worship Him a different way. You see, true theology will produce better doxology. I don't think I said that right. Hold on. What is doxology? You see, I need to mature as well. I need to mature as well, guys. But true theology, if you guys understand God better, you will worship Him better. You'll worship Him deeper. So I want to call you guys to maturity. You know, a true Christian, a person that is striving after maturity, I'm not saying like true Christians, some of you guys aren't true Christians, I'm just saying that a person that is striving after maturity, a person that is trying to, what's up? See, she's maturing already. She's looking stuff up. Praise God. Come on, come on. So that's awesome. But a true Christian will understand that every trial, every tribulation in your life, like you're not going to attain perfection until you attain glorification, until you come to the end of your life and Christ will glorify your body. Like that's when you become perfect. But still, Jesus calls us to strive for perfection, to have the direction to perfection. But a true Christian will understand that every single trial, every tribulation, every desert, who's ever had a desert in their life where they just can't get a breakthrough? Every desert, every stumble, who's ever stumbled in their life? Yeah, me too. Every time when you don't see God or you don't feel God or you don't understand what He's doing in your life, all those things are producing a steadfastness. They're producing a strength in you. They're producing qualities in you. They're producing a better you. Even though it's not about you, but they're still producing a better you. Instead of saying, why is this happening to me, God? You know, a true believer, a mature believer will say, thy will be done in my life. And when facing death, a true believer will look it in the eyes and say, gain. This is going to be gain. I'm going to gain life from this. And that's what's leading up to. Man, when you're laying on your deathbed and you know you're going to die, it's not dark. Matter of fact, it's joyful. Because the Bible says, for me to live is Christ and to die is, it's a gain. We get something from this. I was thinking about this. I was driving home the other day and I'm like, man, believe it, just trading all of this life for eternity with Jesus, where you get to be in His presence 24/7 and everybody's worshiping God. That is gain. That is something we long for. So if you don't see yourself going deeper with Christ, man, I want to urge you to go and start striving for maturity in Christ. Start striving for a deeper understanding of who He is. Start striving for a deeper understanding of what His will is for your life. Not all of us are going to be preachers. Not all of us are going to be amazing or whatever. You know, Ben Shapiro says the way we can change the world is to have a lot of babies and raise them right. You know, and I see that in my parents, because my mother, she's not a great preacher. She's not a great evangelist. My parents, they're not great missionaries. But they've raised 12 kids, all serving the Lord. Man, and so your own life, you're not going to be an amazing preacher sometimes. Maybe you are, and God bless you. But God has a plan, still has a plan for your life. And God wants to take you deeper. Amen? So let's pray real quick. And I want to actually just make an altar call real quick. If you feel, or if you know, that you are a false convert, that you've been living a lie, it's time to take the mask off. It's time to remove the mask and to understand who God is and what He's calling you to do. It's time to understand where He wants you to be. It's time to understand that you need to go to maturity. You need to change your direction to get into perfection. And if there's anybody like that, let's just Raise your hand real quick. Come on. Come on. Awesome. Praise God. So let's everybody stand up real quick and let's pray. Just play anything.
Anything.
Anything. Come on. And if you guys want prayer or need prayer, come up here, okay? And we'll pray with you and pray for you.